Good morning, everybody. Would you please join me in a word of prayer? God of grace and mercy, we have experienced once again this amazing meal that you have given us, this sacrifice that fills us, that cleans us, and that reminds us. In the next moments, we pray that you open our ears and our hearts to hear the word that you have for each one of us. I know that regardless of what I have prepared and what I say, your word is sent out and comes back no matter what, the way that you need it to. So in these moments, help us to set aside the distractions, the things that are outside of this space, to receive and to respond to your message. We pray all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So it's fair for me to first start with kind of a public service announcement. This morning, I'm going to be spending a lot of time talking about food. So some of you may have chosen this Lenten journey where you're fasting. This may be a difficult morning for you. It's not a test, but we do need to talk about food this morning. And I really don't have a lot of witty and fancy images or slides that I've put together for you this morning. I really just have this one. But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to ask you to multitask. And I know it's not all of our strengths to multitask, but I do have something else that I want you to do. I told you that we were going to talk about food. Well, the good news is that food is organic. So this week, I spent some time in the place, in tradition, where we hope and pray the home of Living Faith Church will be. We know that God hears our prayers, and in the same way that we lay hands on each other when we're going off on mission, when someone is ill, backpacks, undies, saw that here. It's beautiful. In that same way, this morning, I'm going to ask each one of you here today to lay hands on this sand that I borrowed. Trespassing is okay, I guess. This sand that I borrowed from that site. My hope is that each one of you will just take a moment to reflect on what it is that you hope to see in this new building, this new place of worship. It's real. And if you need to open this and touch the sand, help yourself, try not to spill it, the top comes off really easy. But I would like to pass this around and have everybody touch this piece. And then what I'm going to do is take this also to my other congregation, Holy Spirit Lutheran Church, another church which is praying fervently for you in this journey as well. So, while I'm speaking, I'll ask you to do two things. Please listen. And then also, pass this to your neighbor, but just take a moment to think about what this means, what this can mean, and what this will mean. So, I'll start by giving it to our worship team, and if you can, just pass it around. Yeah, I know it's going to be distracting, but that's okay. I'm planning for it. So, comfort food. That's the name of the sermon for this morning. Comfort food. So, for a lot of people, it might mean something that reminds you of home. For me, that's what it is, and I'll share that with you in a moment. But comfort food also comes into play when we have just a really bold and strong memory in our life. Some place that we were, some time, some moment. So, for me, when I think of home, I think of my dad's huge hash browns. Or my mom's apple crisp. Or when my wife and I make homemade pizza, it reminds me to the time when we were dating. And it's just that those things that just move you so deeply, those things that touch you just at the core. And God knows this about us. After all, one of the sacraments, the Eucharist, is what? It's a meal. It's the supper. It's the Lord's supper. It fills us. So that's a little bit about comfort food. So be thinking about that. And what I'm hoping you will do, as you lay hands on this ground
that I've brought in here from the site in tradition, I want you to really think about what it is that makes you comfortable. What are your thoughts and your hopes and prayers for that church? Now, looking to our reading for today from Luke 13, and I want to just share with you that in the Gospel of Luke, from chapter 9 to chapter 19, they refer to that, and I say they, the Bible scholars or people that study the Bible, they refer to those verses from 9 to 19 as Luke's journey narrative. The story of Jesus making his way to Jerusalem. So right away, when we start with this reading from Luke, what really gets your attention is Jesus' response to the Pharisees. Now, this is what the Pharisees are always doing. We don't know what their intentions are. But Jesus comes to Jerusalem, and he tells us very clearly in this text what he's there to do and the people there. And right away, the Pharisees are like, "You need to get out of here. This is a very dangerous place for you. Don't you know that Herod is trying to kill you?" Now, we know that Jesus, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, already knows what's going on here. So we don't understand whether the Pharisees are being sarcastic, because they were always poking at Jesus. But then we get Jesus' response. And I absolutely love it, and it takes me to this weird place. It just kind of rattles you. When he says, "You tell that fox." You tell that fox. So as a student of theology, a seminary student, right away I'm like, "Oh, fox. There must be some sort of biblical interpretation, some deep meaning." No, this is nothing deep. Fox. Or in Hebrew, and Pastor Marian might be able to correct me on this because she loves Hebrew, shugal is the word for fox in Hebrew. And it is the same nasty critter that we have here and now. An animal that undermines, an animal that kills, an animal that steals. It's the same fox that we know. There's no hidden meaning. There's no secrets. It's the same fox. But what I really want to pay attention to is Jesus' next words. These words where he tells the Pharisees and those who are present there today that no matter what they say, no matter what they do, this is what is going to happen. This prophecy is going to be revealed. I will come here, I will heal, I will cure, I will drive out demons, and on the third day my work will be done. All of that language sounds very familiar to us as we consider our Lenten journey towards Easter. But what we need to really focus on here is that Jesus is so clear in proclaiming this mission, his nature, his character. "I am here to cast out demons, to cure, and on the third day, my work will be done." His mission is clear. And as we look at the future for living faith and building a church, I didn't say if, when we build a church, we need to be clear in our mission. I've affixed to that container of earth the abbreviated mission statement. So when you get that piece of earth, that ground that I borrowed, just take a look at that and remind yourself what it is that we're here to do. Jesus was crystal clear on what his mission was. Now, I told you that this narrative, this Luke's journey narrative, goes from chapter 9 all the way through to 19. So I'm going to go outside of our reading all the way to chapter 19, because I think there's something very important that happens in chapter 19. Now, when we get to chapter 19 in this story of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, Jesus is in Jericho. Down in Jericho, they say, just because of the elevation, the disciples you'll hear in the Bible, they go down to Jericho. So they've gone from Jerusalem, this most holy city, this sacred city, Zion, depending on which king is in play. They go from Jerusalem to Jericho. And I don't want to give too much of the story because it's part of our lectionary for the upcoming season. But Jesus comes across someone in his journey through the city, which is a big buzz. The city knows that he's there, and people are going crazy. So Jesus is making his way through Jericho back to Jerusalem. The crowds are huge, and there's a man of rather short stature in the crowd, a tax collector. Does anybody know this story?
Yes.
Zacchaeus. The reason I invited Zacchaeus into this sermon, because this exchange, this conversation between Jesus and Zacchaeus, it really makes me think about the future of living faith. So we know the story. Zacchaeus can't see because he's a man of short stature. I'm going to leave it at that. Climbs up a sycamore fig tree so that he can see Jesus. And as Jesus makes his way through the crowd, he sees Zacchaeus in the tree and stops to talk to him. Of course, Jesus first says, as Jesus does, come on, come down, let's talk. Jesus invites him into a conversation. But this is the part that really made me think about where we are today, in this moment. Jesus says to Zacchaeus, tonight I will be a guest in your house. Zacchaeus, startled as everybody around him, because he's a tax collector, but Jesus saying, inviting himself, call it what it is, Jesus says, tonight I will be a guest in your house. Jesus looks at Zacchaeus and really just says, hey, aren't you going to invite me to your house? The reason that that got my attention, because this is a beautiful space. And you are amazing people. But this is not our home. Ministry happens throughout the week, not just on Sunday at 10 o'clock. And we do a lot of outreach work. I say we, I'm a small piece of that puzzle. God's work is happening here, but this is not our home. When I share with people that I'm interning at Living Faith Church, they always ask me the same question. Where is your church? Aren't you going to invite me to your home? Tonight I will be a guest in your home. Do you see the connection? Brothers and sisters, this time, I feel so blessed to be part of this time in your church's life, in God's church's life. Because the disciples went from place to place, we know that. The Apostle Paul went from place to place. But what did the Apostle Paul do? Planted churches. Planted churches. So, leaving now from the text, I wanted to share with you a moment I had this past week in Wednesday evening Bible study. And again, we're going to talk about food. It is St. Patrick's Day. So I walk into the room and everybody's talking about Irish soda bread. Raisins or no raisins? Sour cream or no sour cream?
Caraway seeds.
All of this language about Irish soda bread. I got that. I said that just to get a chuckle out of it. So we were in the book of 1 John, reading from 1 John chapter 4. And there's this beautiful paragraph in chapter 4. And I'm going to quiz those who were present at the Bible study, where we hear about God's love. This one paragraph, we hear all about God's love. And I'm going to ask someone to shout out, how many times did we count the word love in that paragraph? 27 times. 27 times. God loves us so much. God loves us so much that God sent us Jesus. God has put us here to receive these gifts, to receive forgiveness. And the question is, how are we going to respond? Tonight, I will be a guest in your home, Jesus says to Zacchaeus. Another thing that I wanted to share with you, that's a personal part of my story. My dad, from the time I was little, always muttered these words, and you may remember the commercial. We ate a lot of spaghetti when I was a kid, that's all I can say. But there was a particular spaghetti sauce called Prego. And there was a great commercial of a very seasoned chef cooking over the shoulder of somebody else, and that person's stirring in, and the chef says, "Oh, I see you're serving your spaghetti sauce from a jar now. You should have fresh garlic. You should have chopped up onions." And the person that's cooking says these words that my dad regularly said when I was young, "It's in there. It's in there." So when I consider what is happening here at Living Faith, this congregation, this ministry, compassion, love, outreach, fellowship, caring, nurturing, it's in there. Amen.